Week two of Diamonds in the Desert. I'm Haley Stasiak with Jordan Hamm. Now, the Diamondbacks are now almost through their first away road trip here. Is there a reason for a panic, do we think? They're not doing so hot, but we do have to remember that this is baseball, so do we panic or no?
I don't think so. You know, it's still early in the year. The Diamondbacks fans were kind of treated to a very, very hot start.
Oh, yeah.
And full of offense, and, you know, everybody was hitting. It was just double after double after double. And now when you face a pretty good pitching staff in the Giants and a pretty good pitching staff in the Dodgers,
on their home turf,
those runs are going to go down. Now, there are struggles. Guys are coming back down to earth, but I think that that's just, you know, the first couple weeks of baseball as you get into those routines. What about you?
You know, I really don't think there's any reason for panic. I mean, like we said last week even, this is baseball, anything can happen. Yeah, Greinke didn't have such a great start, that matchup with Kershaw. We'll get into that in a little bit. But I don't think that there's any reason to panic.
Yeah, and, you know, they had a nice win yesterday.
Yeah.
You saw some glimpses of, you know, what Taijuan Walker can do.
Yes.
He left the game with back spasms. You know, hopefully for him, that's just a little blip on the radar and, you know, pitching in a day game, that sort of thing. But he was someone that just didn't look very comfortable up there, but he really seemed to really kind of find himself on the mound on Sunday. And rough first inning, you know, and all of that was with two outs. You know, Justin Turner shoots a ball opposite field, and then that progressed into a run. But really, for those couple of batters, other than that, he was really solid. It was a good glimpse of what he can do. He mixed his pitches well. He was striking guys out and that sort of thing. And then the bullpen, overall, I think for the season as a whole, has had has done a good job. You know, obviously Saturday night, things kind of fell apart for Fernando Rodney and that sort of thing. But again, that 162 games, that's just going to happen.
Yeah. And back to Walker a minute. Last week I had said, I think he's just got to kind of get comfortable. And I, like you mentioned, I really do think that we're starting to see him get comfortable. But you mentioned the bullpen. How about Archie Bradley? He went 2 2/3 of an inning Sunday, and he only allowed one hit, and he's yet to give up a run this year. So
he looks like a completely different pitcher out there. Not only it looks like he's in better shape as opposed to last year, it looks like he worked really hard this offseason. And I know,
and how about that beard?
So many people say that every offseason. And yes, the beard, the intimidation factor, that's got to help. But also just his style of pitching. He's not really pacing himself. He knows he's going to be in there 2, 3, 4 innings. He's been doing that his entire life. So he's able to kind of up that velocity and really go after hitters and let the defense make plays for him. Nick Pecora of AZ Central had a really good article on whether he should be used in these late game situations or if he should still be the long reliever and that sort of thing. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how his role develops. He's a guy that has said he would rather be in the bullpen at the big league level rather than in the starting rotation in the minors. And I think Torrey Lovello is still kind of feeling that out.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him in a later game situation. Yeah, it was for 2 2/3. He ate up some innings, and that's going to be his job. But, you know, let's say in the eighth inning and you have De La Rosa kind of gassed and some other of the setup guys to get to Rodney, could Archie Bradley be coming in there? I think it would be wise of Lovello to at least explore that option.
Yeah, I agree with that. But moving now to the offensive aspect of it, where are we seeing the weak spots after this road trip?
Well, it's been at the top. It's been A.J. Pollock had a rough week. He was hitting below 100 the past 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Goldschmidt's hitting right around 200. He went 2 for 4 yesterday. It seemed like he kind of figured some things out, but you know, that's just going to happen. That's going to happen, and these guys still have value. AJ Pollock, especially, he made that great catch in center field on Sunday to really save the game.
Yeah,
and that's the value that this kind of guy brings to the table. He can hit for average. He can hit for power. He runs the base as well. He's a top-notch defender. And I think that that's something that when you look at the issues that the Diamondbacks had last year, sure, there were plenty of holes, but that outfield depth, when him and Peralta went out, your most senior outfielder is going to be Yasmani Tomas, and he's not known for his defense. So that center field's a lot of ground to cover, and it's just a luxury for the Diamondbacks to have a guy like that in center field.
What about in the infield? We have Lamb at third, Drury at second, and Goldie at first. And then we have Owings in that spot right there. Do we like that this year?
I think so. He's been doing his job getting on base. You know, he's, it seems what Lovello has been doing, when it's a lefty pitcher, he'll be up second. Mm-hmm. When it's a right-handed pitcher, David Peralta will usually assume that position, and Owings will be down in the lineup. And Nick Ahmed had a really good weekend as well. So they're platooning together, and Owings is doing a really good job of just getting on base and setting the tone and, you know, that sort of thing. And then with Ahmed, he showed a little bit of pop, had a 3-run home run, also had an RBI single.
Big
but,
for them.
You know, the Dodgers, that Dodgers series, it was a little concerning when on Saturday Nick Ahmed was the only one bringing in runs, and Chris Iannetta had a solo shot on Sunday, and then a Jake Lamb walk brought in the other run. And I'm missing another run here, but, you know, the struggles have been there. And really, with the exception of Jake Lamb, it's kind of caught everybody. You have some young guys, you know, Brandon Drury has seen his average dip a little bit, but he continues to just kind of battle through. He's picking up a hit here, a hit there. And kind of what you want is just not the entire team to nosedive at the same time. And that's what happened those first couple of games of that road trip.
Let's circle back around to Greinke. Obviously, Diamondbacks are spending big bucks on him. And after that not-so-great start, is there a reason to think that he may kind of stick where he was at the end of last year when he came on with the Diamondbacks?
Well, it's tough because the expectations, like Shelby Miller, they were so high coming off such a great season with the Dodgers. Looking at last year, I think he's somewhere in the middle. I think he's still a very good pitcher. He may not be that Cy Young quality. He could just be a very good pitcher. And what we've seen a little bit of both this season so far. Against Cleveland, he was lights out. He was an ace. The Giants, he had a pretty good start, but he had to struggle through some things, and his pitch count shot up. Against the Dodgers, they just peppered him. And the Dodgers are the only team in baseball right now. Their 3-4-5 hitters have zero home runs, but they're still able to produce those runs. And it's like a boxer. The Dodgers, right now aren't Mike Tyson. They're the guy that's just going to pepper you and just kind of beat the hell out of you and hope you kind of tire out. Yeah. So that's exactly what happened with Zach Greinke on Saturday. And it was probably a big deal for him to pitch at Dodger Stadium again, even though he's been a full season removed now. It seems like the Diamondbacks have kind of shunned away 2016. Like, okay, let's just not even think about this. Let's just go. And it was against Kershaw. Kershaw was lights out. Greinke wasn't.
All in all, though, we're not panicking.
I'm not. No.
I'm not panicking.
April.
You're not.
It's April. Look at where this team was last year at this time.
Yeah. That's big.
You know, and they have... They have bright spots, you know, even when they're struggling, the Archie Bradley, Jake Lamb, like, you're seeing production out of guys. And, you know, 2016, that first month, it was just all the air was sucked out of that stadium because no one could really click quite right.
Don't panic, Diamondbacks fans. It's only April. Let's move into the college front now. Arizona with the series win against Oregon. J.C. Cloney, 6 innings pitched, 7 hits, 3 runs, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. Pretty impressive Friday night from him.
Yeah, he's continued to be that ace that they need.
7-0.
Yeah.
He's undefeated.
Yeah, and, you know, there was some injury concern with him. The previous start, he only threw, like 2/3 of an inning or something like that before he was taken out. But he bounced back very well. And you know how the postseason works with college. Those guys' pitch count are going to go through the roof. They might be assuming different roles throughout the year. You know, Cloney may be starting one game, and then 2 days later they're going to need him in a relief role.
Once
so to see him bounce back, probably be fresh because he didn't pitch, that's huge for the Wildcats. And this is a series win against a quality Pac-12 opponent. I think, you know, kind of the Pac-12, it's kind of – you know, Oregon State, and then 4 other teams that are kind of that next echelon, and then everybody else. Oregon's a part of that second echelon.
And, you know, offensively, this team is just lights out, too. They are currently ranked nationally 1 with 9 runs per game. Doubles per game, they're at about 2-3. And, I mean, they really have a very diverse group of guys that can come up and just make stuff happen. Most recently, this past weekend, Alfonso Rivas went 5-for-5 in an 18-to-4 win against the Ducks on Saturday. He's batting at 415. And, of course, we've mentioned J.J. Matijevic, who was Pac-12 Player of the Week last week. This team offensively is just on, and with J.C. Cloney on the bump and a couple other pitchers in there in the mix making things happen too.
But and that offense is so key for a college staff, because typically, unless you're in Oregon State, you probably have like two pretty good starters, and then Sunday's usually kind of a crapshoot, right, and that sort of thing. They have a very talented staff, but when J.C. Cloney can go out and give up three runs,
set the tone for the weekend.
Well, and he doesn't have to be perfect.
Right.
He doesn't have to throw a perfect game every time. He gave up three runs. Like, it wasn't his best start, but it was still a good start. And you have that offense behind you that just takes so much pressure off the pitching staff.
Moving into ASU, finally kind of broke that losing streak there. They got the win against UNLV on Tuesday and then swept Washington State. And that win on Saturday was in a pretty exciting fashion with a walk-off by Hunter Bishop. And Ryan Lillard set the tone with a big three-run homer down there in the ninth, too.
I think this series is going to be really important. The ASU most likely isn't going to be making a playoff run here this year.
But seem so.
When it's a young team like this, you need those clutch moments to go your way sometimes.
They've had a few of them this season.
And you learn when it doesn't work out, but just to have it happen and mm-hmm. kind of go for your confidence. And this wasn't just Lillard solo shot. Okay, like this was multiple guys coming in the clutch to set up
stepping
this
up.
Inning to get the sweep, to build as you're in the home stretch of Pac-12 play. I think that's a huge thing for Tracy Smith and his staff to build off of as they wrap up this year and move on into the next year.
And Gage Canning was pretty clutch. We talk about that. He has come up in big moments throughout this season.
Mm-hmm.
He was named Pac-12 Player of the Week this week. He went 6-for-18 with two multi-hit games this past weekend.
And four RBIs in one game.
Yeah. He's a pretty good player. And he can play that outfield like no other.
Yeah.
GCU now won their fourth straight WAC series against Chicago State this past weekend. And we've mentioned Jake Wong. He recorded his second loss of the season Friday. But they've got some bats in there. We mentioned Austin Bull. And just an overall pretty good staff there, too, that we should definitely be keeping an eye on.
Yeah, I absolutely. You know, again, they're a team that won't be able to go to the postseason because they're
not
making the jump
year
to Division One. But like we said last week, this is a team that they're doing things the right way and scheduling tough non-conference and just really kind of getting the experience. And similarly to what I just said about ASU, GCU's doing everything they can to build that foundation right now.
Mm-hmm.
So when they are eligible and able to play in the postseason tournaments and things like that, they're going to be ready to go. And again, Andy Stankiewicz doing a great job over there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really the epitome of a team over there. There's not a ton of easy outs, and it's mm-hmm. a really good staff. Yes, Jake Wong is leading the way, but that's a solid staff, top to bottom.
Moving to the high school front, let's talk about Horizon. They're the top team in the state, 19th in the country. Their only losses have come to Sandra Day O'Connor, who Max Preps is saying is expected to be slated at the number 3 seed in the tournament. And then their other loss comes to a team out of Stillwater, Oklahoma, which has a lot to say about this team.
Absolutely. This is a Horizon program that has always been really, really good. And this is a team, you look at the pitching staff and you look at their numbers, the top 8 guys are all seniors in terms of innings pitched. So this is a very senior team, and 6A, 5A, like both of these divisions are just so stacked this year. Arizona's such a great baseball state. And but leading the way here for Horizon, Colin King and Cameron Doherty. King with 45 2/3 innings, striking out 43. Opponents are hitting .211 against him.
Wow.
And Doherty is right there with him, 37 1/3, 42 strikeouts. This team is just, again, it's a simple formula. You have a pitching staff that can get out of innings and really eat those up, and you have a very versatile offense that I know you're going to be talking about here in a second, and you're going to win ball games. And that's what Horizon has done since I was in high school, and that was quite a few years ago. So this is
don't date yourself.
This is a program. I mean, I'm not Erica Brad, but this is a program that continues to challenge themselves. Like you said, they lost to Stillwater. They're traveling and playing,
which is huge.
Out of state teams.
You don't hear that a lot in high school baseball.
No, no.
I mean, that was like the first time.
Yeah, the elite go out and do that. The Horizons do that. Hamilton just did that. But they really want to test themselves and make sure they're ready come, you know, beginning of May when the playoffs start up.
I've got some offensive guys here for you. Sophomore Cody Huff, he plays a little bit of catcher and short. He's a team-leading batting average of .419, with also leads the team in doubles with 9. He is a force to be reckoned with at the plate. And then we have Oregon commit, and he's a senior, Evan Williams, who's batting at .410 with 4 home runs on the season. He's got like 32, I think, in his career. So these two guys are the guys that stood out to me when I was looking at this team that at the plate just make things happen, and then you combine that pitching staff that you mentioned, and this team is a team to watch.
And Evan also is pretty productive on the mound as well.
Oh, yeah.
So in high school, especially with these elite programs,
plays a little bit of outfield too.
You will see those guys, you know, get on the bump when they need to, and you know, if you have a good bat in high school, they're going to find a way to get you in the lineup.
Moving on now to our Arizona product, killing it in the pros. Who do we got this week?
We have Scott Kingery. He is in the Philadelphia Phillies system, former Arizona Wildcat, and him and Kevin Newman really teamed up to have a very good middle infield for the Arizona Wildcats. Really, their last year, the Wildcats struggled, but they also had two guys go in like the top 4 or 5 rounds in the draft. So it was kind of crazy to see that. His fourth home run in 5 games. He had 3 walks the other day, stole 2 bags. I mean, again, this is just a guy that can kind of do it all. Similar, like we were talking about AJ Pollock, can just find ways to just be a pain in the butt to the opponent. And it seems like on MLB Pipeline, I see him pop up almost weekly, and he's having a great season so far. And I expect, you know, Philly's young team, they're not going to hold this guy down if he's really killing it as much as he is. So expect him to be in the bigs here coming shortly.
That's what we've got for you this week on Diamonds in the Desert. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.